So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, deep divers. Thank you very much for joining me for another episode of Deep Dive Musings. In case you weren't aware, my book is out. Cosmic Philosophy, A Month in the Light, is available on Amazon as an ebook or as a paperback option. I recommend the paperback option because there's a lot of space in there to write, take notes, and jot down your thoughts. But if you're an ebook person, it's in there, and I think it's like a dollar something cheaper. I also have the audiobook that should be available in the next few days. So if you're someone listening to this podcast who prefers Audible as an option, listening to audiobooks, then yeah, you can just wait a couple more days. It's really exciting. You can go to my website, adamroa.com, and see the description of the book. I've talked about it on previous podcasts. In fact, the last podcast musing that I did, Cosmic Philosophy, A Month in the Light, is entirely about how the book came to be. So rather than bore you with a story you may have already listened to, I encourage people who are unfamiliar to just listen to the last musing. There's ancient Egypt, there's plant medicine, there's alien channeling beings. It's a pretty cool story. So if you're interested in that, I recommend it. As for today, this episode's really special because we're in portal numbers, meaning that this is episode 111. Yeah, 111th episode that I'm putting out. And this episode will be three lessons from my 33 trips around the sun. So we have 111 and we have 333. So that means that the episode is going to be special. It already is special. So thank you for listening and being a part of this. All right. Three lessons from my 33 trips around the sun. You know, I have to say that this past year was filled with more pain than any year that I'm consciously aware of. So, you know, as a kid, when I look back, I definitely had a lot of anger and pain. I just wasn't aware of it at the time. I was disconnected from my emotions. I wasn't really allowing myself to feel them. And so it's almost like I've had to feel those emotions as I've gotten older. And this past year, having really stepped into a level of vulnerability and authenticity, having this podcast, which was a big thing because it wound up being just kind of like an audio journal. It's funny, I journal a lot less now because I started doing these musings last year. And each week, this is a chance for me to just kind of unload a lot of what's on my mind and do it in a way that hopefully provides value for the people listening, all of you deep divers. So, it was really an intense year. And Azria and I were in more arguments and disagreements than ever before, not due to a lack of love or a lack of communication, but actually due to the fact that we were intentionally pushing our edges in ways that were previously untouched. We were pushing our edges around sexuality and our relationship and our sexual energy, and we were pushing our edges around finances, moving into a home that was significantly more rent than anywhere we'd ever lived before. And it was, you know, it's three bedrooms and we had given away all of our stuff, right? 75% of our belongings. So we move into a three bedroom home that has no furniture. And we didn't even own, we didn't even own like a kitchen table or a couch to put in the living room. Those sorts of things were gone. And so, yeah, the financial stretches, like so much has been a part of this past year. And celebrating my birthday last week, my birthday was January 19th, and Azria planned an entire day of surprises and community and tribe, and people showed up at random points throughout the day, and there were different events, and it was an all-day thing, starting at sunrise till, you know, into the evening. And I had no idea where, what, when, how, who, like I didn't know any of it, and I surrendered into that, and it was incredible. It was one of the best days of my entire life. It meant a lot, because as I have gotten busier, I have recognized more and more my own value that I place on my time. And as business has grown and purpose has grown, I've recognized the importance of my time, not just how I value what I can do with it, but the impact that can be created and all the different options available for it. And that's the same with, you know, the people in my life. I'm surrounded by people who are doing really big things in the world, and for them to take time out of their day, any time at all, to celebrate my birthday was really, really powerful. And there were a few questions that were asked along the way that day. And, you know, some of those questions revolved around, what was the biggest lesson I learned last year? And it's difficult to put it down into one, and I'd like to just give three and share with you what has made the biggest impact on my life moving forward. So when I'm evaluating these lessons, and when I thought about this, I thought about, okay, what are, not just how are the lessons received, but how are they being applied moving forward? And so that is kind of how I determined what made the list, and I am going to share them with you now. The first lesson that I received over the course of the last year that really has changed the way that I operate in the world is trust. I have spoken a lot about how we are co-creating with the universe. And that co-creative process, an important aspect to that is that we are infinitely supported. The universe is benevolent and wants what we want and supports us in that journey. And I guess for me, I understood that conceptually, and I had some evidence of that throughout my life. But this past year, I really got to understand and feel, like actually feel, being held by the universe, being truly supported by the universe, and trusting in that. And what that allows, what that trust and that lesson of trust allows for me is surrender. So if you've been a regular listener to this podcast, then you listened to the episode I did about the trickiest part of manifestation. And the trickiest part of manifestation is letting it go. You do all the visioning, you do all the meditations, and then eventually you just let it go. And you trust, you surrender into however it may show up. And the thing that people often don't talk about is the surrender portion, the letting it go. What are you surrendering into? Right? When you surrender, you're actually surrendering into something. You're choosing something. So when you surrender, you are letting go into trust. You're letting go, you're surrendering into the trust that it is all taken care of. You're held. And there were so many times this year where I took giant leaps of faith and did so because my intuition was telling me this is the next step, this is the right move. And in doing so, everything turned out even better than I could have imagined. And that trust, that true trust is huge. It's massive. And I learned that this past year. No matter what, I'm good. I'm cared for. And that was a big lesson to really feel and not just conceptually understand. So then, number two, the second lesson, as Saren is sniffing at the door. Saren, you want to come in here? Come on. Hi. Hi. So, the second lesson that I learned this past year is the power of tribe, the power of community. And I have always been somewhat of a lone wolf in the past. I've been someone who's felt like I can do this on my own. I don't need help. I'm not going to ask for help. When I'm going through something difficult, when I'm experiencing my own edges, I'll do so by myself. I'll take some alone time. I'll go to the gym. I'll take some mushrooms or whatever on my own, and I'll figure it out. And this past year, I experienced community at a really, really deep level. I experienced community by moving to Encinitas, first of all, because moving to Encinitas, we did so in large part, maybe primarily, because of the community we felt here. And that's not to say there weren't opportunities for real deep community where I was living before. Santa Monica, Venice, there's some incredible communities. The Full Circle community, The Rise, and so many other communities that are really incredible. And I have a lot of friends there to this day. But because I had been living there so long, and because I wasn't clear about who I was and I was still figuring it out, moving to Encinitas allowed me to enter into a community that did not know me as who I was in the moment. No history, no preconceived notions, who I was in the moment. And what that did was that allowed me to more deeply embody who I was in the moment. It's a funny thing how it works, because, you know, the energetic frequency of the past is all around us. Our present moment is the culmination of every decision you have ever made in your life. And so leaving a place where I had lived, Los Angeles, leaving that place of 10 years was a really big, big leap of faith. And it was a clearing of energy into something new. And then through experiencing community here in Encinitas, I've developed a deeper appreciation for community back in LA. And I've seen the power that community has. First, it was in healing others. And then in allowing myself to surrender into it when I needed healing, when I needed support. And there was this really valuable insight gained on my birthday when I had all these different friends from different communities who had never met before in one place, having an incredible time, loving each other, getting to know each other, having fun, dancing together. And what I realized is that most of my life, I have had friends in so many different areas and different tribes. I had like my fantasy football friends back home. I had like my actor friends. I had my like psychedelic hippie type friends. And these different groups, I could chameleon my way into them and fit in really well with each group. And I didn't feel like the different groups actually had too much in common in terms of they wouldn't want to hang out. And I'd seen it happen a couple times where it's like, oh yeah, they're going to be nice. They're nice human beings and they'll, you know, have conversations and stuff, but they're not soul family with each other. And on my birthday, I realized that I'm at a place where pretty much all of my friends that I consider soul family would love the rest of my friends, would get along, would like to hang out with them. And what that represented to me, because that's all a reflection, right? So what that represented to me was that I have finally gotten to a place where I'm clear about who I am. I'm living in an alignment and an embodiment of a frequency so that the people that I'm attracting into my life resonate with that frequency. And that frequency is not partial. It's not like I'm hiding a part of myself when I'm with some people and hiding another part of myself when I'm with other people. I am myself all the time, fully. And by allowing people to see you fully, they are given the opportunity to resonate and connect with you at the deepest levels. Right? Think about that. Yes, you could hide the part of you that's really into the esoteric spiritual stuff with some of your friends and just focus on sports or business. Great. And if that's 75% of who you are, awesome. So you're going to get these really deep connections with people that are 75% of what they could be. But if you're hiding 25% of yourself, there's no way for you to have a 100% connection. And so this last year was a real ownership, like true, true ownership of who I am. And that came from community in a lot of ways, because I got to see how I show up and how I was received and how people saw me. And I got to see what was possible when I allowed myself to be seen at a deeper level and I didn't hide. And that gave me more confidence, because the people that entered into my life were soul family. And that was a powerful moment on my birthday, looking around and seeing all the different people come together and click. And so for those of you listening now, trust that as you reveal more of yourself, there will be those who fall away. As you reveal more of yourself, there will be people who don't resonate with that extra 25% that you'd been hiding. But we get to break this habit of focusing on what we would lose simply because we can't yet see what we will gain. Do you. Even when people think you're crazy, keep doing you, and your tribe will find you, or you will find your tribe. And it's worth it. And so that was my second lesson from 33 trips around the sun. And the final lesson. It's funny, because before the podcast, I had the two lessons that I knew for sure because they were discussed on my birthday. And I wanted to leave the third one till this moment where it was time for it to come out. And I wasn't sure what it was going to be, but what it actually is Azria. The third lesson for me in the last year has been love. Romantic partnership. What I've learned in romantic partnership this last year has defied what I thought was possible in a partnership. There have been so many times in the last year where I had no idea how we were going to overcome, transcend, integrate the difficulties that we were facing. Specifically, there was a level of intimacy that Azria desired that I wasn't, at the time, wasn't capable of giving her. I didn't know what it meant. Literally, she would ask me and say, I want us to take our intimacy to the next level. And I had no idea what that meant. I thought that meant sex. It's like, okay, our sex life to the next level. All right. And then I felt pressure. So it's like, what does that look like? Okay. And I had so much fear throughout this past year that I wasn't slinking enough for her. I had so much fear around my ability to provide for her. And then I started earning a lot more money and realized that wasn't it. Wasn't about money. And it was just this ever-present weight that I felt for a lot of last year about how to open up at a deeper level. Because that's what intimacy is, right? Intimacy, into you I see. Allowing someone in at a deeper level. And in order to do that, I had to figure out the walls that were up and take the actions to let them down. And the first step, the real first step, was in communicating the process to her. Because there was a day where I may have spoken about this on the podcast, but I'm going to repeat it. We were going through a difficult, like, couple days, kind of cranky, on edge. This was around the time we were having discussions around intimacy and her desire for more of it and me not knowing what that even meant. And we got into an argument, and I was sitting, at the time I was sitting, and I think I was reading, or I was doing something, sitting in bed, meditating, something like that. And she was on the foot of the bed. And I asked her, I was like, can you please leave the room? Can you give me my space? And we'd, for years, had an agreement, essentially, that when I hit my limit, I would tell her and say something like that. And she would give me my space. And in exchange for that, I would always be the one to bring the conversation back to her when I was ready, so she knew that it wouldn't stay an open loop. That was our agreement for years. And in that moment, she challenged it. And she said, no, I'll sit here quietly. I won't force this conversation on you, but I want you to know that I am here for this conversation. It is not necessary any longer for us to need to go our separate ways in order to process through things. We can do it together. And I closed my eyes because I was so triggered. There was so much anger. There was so much resentment and pain and fear that was in my system that I closed my eyes and I started breathing, meditating, with her sitting there watching me, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm not even sure. And I just continued to breathe. And at a certain point, the emotion had passed. And I opened my eyes and I told her what was going on with me. I told her that I didn't even know how to give her what she was asking for, how it made me feel inadequate, and how every time she continued to ask, it felt like she wasn't recognizing the effort I was making. I just opened up to her. And at the end of that, she said, that's the intimacy that I'm craving. It's not sex. It's being let in at the deepest of levels. And so many of us are So many of us believe that it's about letting people in when we've got our house all cleaned up, when we got it all figured out. Don't let anybody in to see the mess. Oh, I cleaned up the living room and the kitchen and great, but don't let them into the bedroom. Don't let them see that's where we put all our stuff. And what I realized in that moment was that she wanted to see the mess. She wanted to see the part of me that didn't have it figured out. And it's difficult to really describe, because obviously we've been together now over 9 years, and at the time, we've been through so much. We've figured things out together for years and years and years. But up until that point, it had always been an understanding of the process. So it would be like I would share with her, or she would share with me, what we were working on and working through and what we were learning about it. But this side that had so much wounding and confusion, the side that literally said, I have no idea how to even approach this. And with so many meanings assigned to it, meanings of inadequacy, fears of losing her, all of that, letting her into that process, letting her see the mess, was the intimacy that she was seeking. And it was so relieving, actually, because I said, wow, okay, I can do that. I can let you in on that if that's what you want. Oh, God, thank God, because I may not know the answers. I may not know how to solve the issues, but I can let you in on the process. I just didn't know that's what it looked like. And from that moment until now, I love that woman more than ever before. And the level of intimacy that we share now is a lesson I learned during my 33rd trip around the sun. How to love even more deeply. How to truly be intimate. How to let myself be seen by my partner in my mess. And I am so grateful for the space that she provides me to do that. And it takes a lot of work. I'm not someone who normally likes to make absolute statements, but I have never met any couple who are in a long-term relationship that is full of love and intimacy that didn't get there through a lot of work. A lot of being willing to get uncomfortable and feel all the things that we are not actually even capable of feeling outside of relationship. Relationships are accelerators for our growth. And romantic ones especially, because there's a level of intimacy in them that we don't get from anything else. Even just as simple as being seen naked, being seen with an erection. Having a man inside of you, for you women, or men, if you don't want to discriminate. the intimacy of being seen, even in that just straight physical way, is something that is, yeah, that's something that is not, like, there's no other way to get that. That's the way in which you're going to be seen at that level of intimacy and that level of being just naked, and not just physically naked, but emotionally naked. And I really learned that. And I learned the power of how much I'm able to expand, how much I'm able to step into, how much more powerful I become as I allow more of her into my life, more of her energy into my field, more of myself into hers. I expand my edges at an entirely new level. And so, as there's people outside my window talking, Saren hears them. Shh, it's okay. I am so grateful for my relationship. I have an understanding of relationships and what's possible in relationships that I didn't have before this previous year. And it's the direct result of learning the lessons of intimacy. And so the three lessons that I learned from my 33rd trip around the sun: trust, community, intimacy, and the power of all three. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. You are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.